Brighton Festival 2018.
The Cult of Water is a supernatural journey up the River Don, exploring myths and legends of our industrial waterways. It's a storytelling show accompanied by archive film, music, illustrations and candlelight. Well, David Bramwell created the show and he joins us now. So, David, the River Don is near where you grew up in Doncaster and it flows through what were British industrial heartlands of the 19th century. What is its mysterious significance for you?
That's a good question.
Well, give me a good answer.
well, Doncaster is a town like many industrial towns where it was built on the river. The Romans came. They gave the town the name Danum, which was named after Danu, which was the goddess who gave her name to the Don and also gave her name to the Danube and the Don and the Dane and many other rivers. And over the centuries, not only did we neglect our river, we canalised it, we exploited it, it was declared biologically dead for a long period of the Industrial Revolution. And for someone like me, as a teenager growing up in Donny, I was barely aware of the fact that we had a river, despite the fact that the town was formed around the river. So it was a chance for me to go back and work out what had happened to this river. And to trace the origins of Danu and find out who Danu was and how we used to worship our rivers as female deities. And while I was doing the research, I discovered, and this was one of those delights that come to you when you're looking for a story, that the Roman god of fire and forge stands on top of what was once the tallest building in Sheffield and was adopted by the Sheffield steel industry as its mascot. So you've got this male figure, this patriarchal figure of fire, responsible for killing a water deity. And so I took a journey up the Don. It's a semi-mythical journey because it's a journey back in time. Obviously, I didn't really go back in time. But I go back in time to our Neolithic period where I'm in search of Danu to kind of say sorry on behalf of all men, you know, like we messed up, but also to confront my own thalassophobia, which is a fear of deep water, dark water and shapes underneath the water. So I swim in Brighton Sea whenever it's warm, but it scares the willies out of me.
Whenever it's warm? When is that? Hang on a moment.
Well, not yet. Usually kind of July, August, September time. But I have an anxiety about that as well. So there's also an exploration of our anxiety around large bodies of water.
But what started you off thinking, you said you, as a youth, you weren't aware really of the waterways there. What was the moment that you said, you know, there's something in this, I could find a story?
I became interested in water worship. I became interested in how, you know, we are an island of water worshippers, really. We live on a damp island. Water is such an integral part of growing up in Britain. And so it was, you know, starting to, because I was surrounded by that in Yorkshire and Derbyshire by, you know, well dressing. And then these stories that started coming out about how we may have once slept by our wells and springs, and they'd served as sort of oracles, and that water was this sort of divine entity that when the Romans came, they were still water worshippers. They would throw coins and swords and shields into the water. We didn't cross a body of water without paying respect to it. And then we sort of turned this whole thing on its head where we were utterly disrespectful to our waterways. And now we've gone full circle. The show is about how we've gone full circle. And now we're cleaning up our waterways. And the areas of, say, Sheffield, not Doncaster yet, maybe never, but the areas of Sheffield that were once the most degraded, polluted, disgusting areas that I remember visiting as a kid, they're now the most valuable property because the water's been cleaned up. Everybody wants to, you know, live by water, by something organic and natural. So I'm looking at this, how we've sort of gone, we're going full circle. And this coincides with maybe a fanciful, an idealistic way of looking at our future, but we seem to be heading away from a patriarchal past into a matriarchal, a more balanced future, and that seems to go in line with the way we've changed our relationship to waterways.
Well, I'm glad you can see that, because I don't feel we're going in that direction. But this also very much ties in with Brighton, because we're so tied to the sea, aren't we? You know, our history, our trades, our tourism
absolutely
is tied to the sea. And you look at the West Pier sitting out there as a wreck, you know, very much the sea is a part of that. And we have our own hidden river as well, the Wellesbourne River in Brighton, which flows through it.
And I'll be talking a little bit about the Wellesbourne at the end. My promise wherever I do this show is that I'll do research into the local rivers, because every place has one. Obviously, it's helpful. I've been here 25 years, so I know a bit about the Wellesbourne. I've written about it before. So yes, there'll be some Wellesbourne fab facts at the end of the show.
So you're mentioning the show there. So where did Jarvis Cocker and the author Alan Moore come into this?
I'm slightly regretting the wording of that.
Everyone's going to expect Jarvis Cocker to be there.
I know. They will only get me. I did say aided by. Now, Alan Moore, I got the chance to interview Alan last year for a radio programme along similar themes. And so ended up with a 3-hour interview, and we only used about 2 minutes for the radio programme. So I've taken extracts from that interview with Alan's blessing, where he's talking about water worship and his sort of angle on it. Jarvis Cocker features in a slide.
Oh, well done.
He travelled. He took a journey down the Don back in the 1970s on an inflatable rubber ring. So I was
very Michael Jackson.
So you could have called it The Cult of Sex and Water. Had you mentioned sex once during the inner slide, then?
There's quite a lot of sex in actually.
Is there?
When I look at the symbolism of... If you distill down... Our ancient symbols of the stone monolith, which obviously is pertinent to Neolithic landscape, and the well and the circle.
And
genitalia, etc. And then these symbols crop up throughout different mythological systems. So in Christianity, you've got the Spear of Destiny and the Holy Grail. In the Arthurian legends, you've got Arthur's sword, and you've got the chalice. Then you've got the Shilin of Giggs and etc. And then of course, if you distill that down to just a line and a circle, you're looking at two contrasting elements, you know, one which represents something cyclical, one which is linear, and that's binary code, and that's what runs the internet. And so we now inhabit a new, you know, mythical realm, which arguably is non-binary, despite the fact that it's run by binary code.
It's all going on in this show, actually.
It is, isn't it?
I've thought this through.
Yeah, that's good. And I can't help noticing you just happen to have a book in front of you, The Cult of Water, hot off the press.
Hot off the press today, yes. It was a friend, Daisy Campbell, who did a one-woman show a couple of weeks ago, and she said, I presume you're going to get some books knocked up on you know, to sell at the show. And I said, no. She went, no, you ought to. You've got a lot of people coming. I said, oh, no. So she planted that seed. So I spent the last 2 weeks making this, yeah.
Great. So The Cult of Water is on Saturday. You've added an extra show because it's sold out.
Saturday. Yeah, well, they added some extra dates for Saturday. Maybe one or two, literally one or two tickets left for Saturday. But there's a few left. There's more left for Sunday. So it's 9 o'clock at the Brighthelm Centre Saturday and Sunday evening.
Sounds fascinating. Thanks so much for coming in.
Pleasure, pleasure.
The Brighton Festival 2018. Radio Reverb, the only station on air with a dedicated Brighton Festival Hour.